You can start off living on one income. And then, you know, as life happens, maybe there's kids, there's other things that happen. Again, you've already established the savings practice, and it's much easier to spend more if you have excess.
Again, set your budget, not your lifestyle.
Exactly.
Yeah. It gives you so much flexibility then to make other choices later.
You're listening to the Wisdom for Wealth for Life podcast, brought to you by Blue Trust. In this episode, we have a special panel from our advisors from Blue Trust. Senior Private Wealth Advisors, Sherry White and Suzanne Miller, and Senior Family Office Planning Specialist, Anita Chi. They give special tips on living off of one budget, sequential investing, and how to begin estate planning. Let's listen in now.
One of the things a lot of couples talk about is if a spouse has been home taking care of childcare duties, taking care of family members, et cetera, and re-enters the workforce. One thing we say is try and live on one budget. If your income, if your expenses have not increased significantly, see if you can live on one income and put the rest away into retirement. Again, you need to coordinate benefits between health care, who's withholding taxes, because you don't want to live on one salary and find out you have a big tax bill because you haven't been withholding enough taxes on the other paycheck. So coordination is important, but the idea is that you don't increase your lifestyle if you want to play catch up or get ahead on saving for retirement.
But, you know, Susie, I think another really great life stage where you can implement that is when you're just getting married.
Correct.
To becoming one.
Correct.
To the extent you can start off living on one income. And then, you know, as life happens, maybe there's kids, there's other things that happen. Again, you've already established the savings practice, and it's much easier to spend more if you have excess.
Again, set your budget, not your lifestyle.
Exactly.
Yeah. It gives you so much flexibility then to make other choices later.
Right.
If you've not expanded your lifestyle, whether that be missions or actually one of the spouses coming out of the workforce, moving. Lots of things come up that you would maybe want to make a certain decision, but if you've not built in that flexibility in your budget, you're not able to take advantage of those opportunities.
And talking about flexibility in your budget, that's where we refer to margin. So if you've saved and you're living on one income, you can build margin that you can use for investing.
Correct.
Because that's another question that we get a lot of. I want to invest. Where do I start? So switching gears to talk about investing.
Yes, and that's an area, again, I hear this a lot from women. That just seems very intimidating to mm-hmm. them to yeah. start investing. It's like, I don't know where to start, so I just don't do anything. And then you may sit in cash and not get the growth that you really need to keep up with inflation and meet your goals. So for those, you know, in that first job, we talked about making sure you at least take advantage of the match and get some money in there. But you, before you do any of that, you want to make sure you've got that emergency fund in place, or what some of us refer to as the life happens fund. You know, I think about, you know, you've got that $500 deductible on your car insurance, and you now have to get your car repaired. You want to be sure you have that in place, that you've got somewhere to go to, because you don't want to have to use credit card debt and create other problems for yourself down the road. So make sure you've got those reserves. You know, your basic emergency fund, which might be 3 to 6 months of just your normal expenses, and then a cushion for just things that happen. Have that in place. But if you've got that and you feel comfortable with it, then start taking advantage of this employer match. And when you're starting out, I always tell clients or friends and family, just pick a target date fund. Those are always available in your 401k plans. There's not a lot to spread out in lots of different places, but you want some variety in your investment, and this is kind of a one-stop shop mm-hmm. for those target date funds that you can pick, and let that money manager, the fund manager, put it in all the places it needs to be, and you can let it grow. You know, as it grows, then you can start expanding into a more diversified portfolio using different types of things, or even if you want to play around with individual stocks because you enjoy that. But there's some principles that once you move beyond that initial investment and letting it grow and you start having more assets to deal with, then that's when you really want to start matching up where you're invested with when you're going to need the money. And Susie, if you wanted to kind of share a little bit about how we approach that with our clients.
Well, as I meet with, whether it's a 60-year-old or a 20-year-old, we talk about sequential investing, which the most important first step is have money in the bank for emergency reserves, then 6 to 9 months of emergency reserves in this time where we hear about potential layoffs and a recession. That's super important because if you get surprised at work, you want to know where your paycheck's coming, where your money's coming from, who's paying the bills the next 6 months. So those two are the most important. In the last few years, I have two sons that are in their 20s, and it's all crypto and this. And I said, that's really good, but that is going to be the far right. We look at put money in the bank, save for a car or college education expenses, then long-term for retirement, paying down debt. And the very last thing is what we call speculative investing. And something like crypto would be speculative, that it could do really well, it could do really badly. But that's not where you put your money in. You start over here to make sure you have money to pay your bills. That's okay. But once you get through the other things first, and that's an important concept because I know even during the times when crypto was going crazy and I told my kids, don't put your money there, I kind of felt bad. I thought they could be gagillionaires. But this year I feel pretty good about myself.
Right.
So the principles always work. When you second guess yourself or I have something that's super performing, well, Enron was too. So we believe in diversification and also planning to invest for when you need the money.
Right. And like you said, those principles do apply whether you're starting out, whether you've been on your own for a while, whether you're married, or, you know, one of the situations that we see a lot of adjustment in both budgeting and investing is what I call single again. You're widowed, you're divorced, your circumstances have changed a lot. And really all the things we've talked about will require being revisited in those scenarios. You might be updating beneficiaries. You might have to adjust your medical coverage because it was with your spouse's employer. Now you've got to make sure you've got it through another area. And it often affects the investing arena as well. Right. You know, in the divorce or we want to look at like what type of assets am I getting? What type of investments am I walking away with? Or, you know, as a widow, what type of investments do we have? Do they really match what my goals are going to be now and what my needs are in this stage of my life? So it's really important to look at all that.
And women tend to be a little bit more conservative than they need to be in their investment because they value safety.
Correct.
And that's good, but there's a good being too safe.
Right.
So that's where an advisor can encourage you and help you to see that we have you in a safe environment, but we need to plan for the long term as well.
Yeah. And, you know, to that point, you know, Sherry, you mentioned earlier the target date fund.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like on autopilot.
Right.
Because basically what that target date fund does is it looks at when your planned retirement is and adjusts the level of risk in the portfolio. So, you know, you're starting out more aggressive because it knows that you have a much longer time horizon for investing. And as you're getting closer and closer to retirement, it starts to dial that back to more conservative stock. But the other thing I wanted to say there is, just with investing in general, you really want to be investing with a long-term horizon, like money that you need in the short term, money that you need next year, money that you need to buy to have a big purchase this year really should not be exposed to market volatility.
Right.
And it's so easy to forget that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is volatility, especially in the public market, is certain.
Right.
But we just don't know when it's going to happen.
Right.
And so
right.
you don't want to be in the position where it's like, oh, my God, I need this money right now. And here it is 20% or 30% lower than what I invested in. And that's where people, you know, lose hope and they completely pull out.
Right. And, you know, and I think, too, a lot of times I see women, just the terminology even that we're using now, the markets, like, what is the market? You know, what is a stock? What is a bond? That can be intimidating as well. And they hesitate and become more safety oriented, as you mentioned. But I just encourage all women, ask questions.
Uh-huh.
Don't be afraid to ask questions. I ask my doctor questions. I ask my mechanic questions because I don't know about those things. So there's nothing wrong with finding someone that you can trust, whether it's an advisor or a family friend, just someone that you can trust to walk you through so that you can make informed decisions that match your goals. That sequential investing you were talking about, the car purchase or the home repair and sitting in cash. and then the other types of investments for retirement.
And your goals may change.
Right.
You may get to a certain level and you go, I don't want a big house anymore, and I want to do more mission trips and give more money away. And those goals are significantly different. So that's where working with somebody to help you understand the ins and outs and the actuality of changing goals can help.
You know, one thing I wanted to throw out there, speaking of just educating yourself, because that's another thing we hear from women, like, how do I educate myself on all of this stuff? The RonBlue.com website has a library section with tons of really great information.
Yes.
So I would say go there. I mean, you can search by topic, but that's just a good, safe place to just read up on things in very simple layman's terms to explain things that you should probably be thinking about. This has been really good dialogue, ladies. I know with the amount of time we have left, maybe we can just touch on estate planning real quick.
Yes.
And Sherry, maybe I'll start with you. Can you just highlight some of the key documents and things we should be thinking about as far as estate planning?
There's a misconception out there, I think. Too often we feel like, well, estate planning is for when I'm old, you know, or when I retire. But estate planning is for everyone. You know, I'll just highlight, there's three key documents everyone needs to think about, regardless of your age. That is your will, and that does what we all know it does. It takes care of everything that I own and gets it to someone else after I pass away. There's your power of attorney, and then a healthcare power of attorney. And those are for while you're still alive. They help you have someone that you trust, that you choose ahead of time, that can handle your affairs, both financial and healthcare, if something happens to you and you become disabled, you're sick, you know, for whatever reason, you're not able to make those decisions for yourself. I joke a lot of times with my colleagues, like, yeah, guess what my daughter got for her 18th birthday? She got a power of attorney and a healthcare power of attorney because she's of age now. And should something happen, doesn't mean she'd accumulated a lot of assets, but someone needs to be able to make those decisions on her behalf. Now, when she gets married or something else changes, I fully expect for her to redo that. But it's important at any stage of life that you have that in place. You mentioned disability, that how likely it is to become disabled. That's when you're going to want this power of attorney in place. There's another aspect of this that includes all your beneficiaries. We alluded to it earlier, and because those things take place before your will comes into being. You know, sometimes people do have a will and they think that covers it all. It's really important to recognize that it may not. If you've got a life insurance policy, a 401k plan, depends on how your checking account in your home is titled. That can have something happen that's contrary to what you thought was happening in your will. So it's my advice is, one, just go through and do you have the documents in place regardless of your age? Like I said, even starting out and you don't have much, it's still important to have those documents. When you have young children, you want to make sure they're taken care of. So you want to be sure that's all covered in those documents. And then, you know, as you are older, you know, you've accumulated some assets, you may have concerns about, well, who's going to get this? How are they going to use it? What's the best way to have it go to them? You know, how do I want to steward this even when I'm not here making those decisions? So I think it's really important that we don't just put that off. That's what I see a lot. People just think, well, down the road, I'll deal with this. But it's something you should do now and then revisit, you know, every few years and as things change. Anytime your life circumstances change, you know, you get married, you get divorced, you become widowed, have children, change jobs.
Win the lottery,
move to a different state. You know, it's something that's, it's almost like your budget, not quite as a high level or high maintenance, but it does need to be looked at on a regular basis because that has a huge impact. Unfortunately, in this profession, I've seen families torn apart or tragic circumstances happen, children not being provided for the way they intended because these documents weren't put in place properly. And that's not what any of us want for our families.
Right.
So.
Right.
And Susie, you've recently had to go through an estate settlement. Any thoughts to share?
A lot of thoughts. I think it's very key that you have your person. It may be a Ronald Blue Trust, someone at Ronald Blue Trust. It may be your sibling. It may be your spouse. It may be your oldest child. But when you name people in documents as a trustee or an executor, that is a large job to put on someone's shoulders. Even if it's your, if it's a husband and wife naming your spouse, that's a big job. That doesn't mean they have to do everything and reinvent the wheel. They can hire someone to help them through it. But let's say a single woman has, you know, children that are grown, she needs her person that she can depend on, that if something happened to me, they're going to take care of things and my kids are going to be treated equally and things are going to go the way I plan, and not leave it to, I'm going through this right now with a friend of one of my sons, that he had someone die in his family and a family member is not being cooperative and doing things. So things get ugly very quickly on little things. Sometimes it's the way people deal with grief, but having those documents in place, the health care, having to take care of my mom, if I didn't have that document, a lot of times, especially during COVID, like, well, we can't do what you said, but my mom's not capable of telling you what she wants. I need that document. Or if you have a child in college and they get something, they end up in the hospital, you don't get to make that decision unless you have that document if they're over 18. So it's important to make sure there's not a million things to do. There are three documents you really need to look at. So it's important to have it in place and reevaluate every so often to say, do I have the right person in the right seat if I'm called home?
Right.
And, you know, one of the unique things about Ronald Blue is, in addition to thinking about the techniques, the estate techniques, making sure you have those documents, we also address things like values and legacy, things that are really important.
Pitfalls of getting too much money.
Exactly, especially when you're dealing with families that have multi-generational wealth, right? I love this quote by Tim Kemmel when he says, you can't leave character to a trust account and you can't write your values into a will. And so one of the things that we're really very proactive in doing is having those discussions with you, even as you're going through preparing those documents, to ask yourself the hard question, you know, is, I love all my children differently. I love them equally. Does that mean that I have to distribute my assets equally to each of them? What is each person equipped to handle? So those discussions that your estate attorney is not going to be willing to have with you are some of the things that we make sure you address as you think through how you want your assets.
There are instances we always say equal and equitable are not the same thing. So you may have a daughter who's married to someone on the mission field and they don't have a lot, but they have three children that they want to educate, and you have a son who is a partner in a big law firm and makes a lot of money and you want to leave your estate, does that mean it has to be 50-50? Maybe not. So those are discussions that you can have, but then the communication with your family is important too. So having someone walk along beside you, we say you can leave You leave three kinds of capital to your kids. You leave spiritual capital, social capital, and financial capital. If you leave nothing but financial capital, it's like putting a heavy statue on a weak table. It's not going
to handle.
Probably not going to handle what you need. So we try to make sure that they're building all those things in and teaching their children along the way their values and how they can use that money.
Yeah. And I will just share this consistently with my clients. Whenever we have these meetings about estate planning and talking through what their heart is and what they want to see for their family and for their children, and they get those things in place and they've had those conversations, just the ease,
the peace of mind
that they walk
it's
out of
it,
inevitably they'll tell me, I'm so glad
it's
we
like
finally did this.
It's like a heavy blanket taken off
yes.
of them.
They're like, I'm so glad
yeah.
we did this. I'm so glad we did this.
Yeah.
That's one of the fun parts of our job.
Yeah, it is. One of the things I share with my clients is in planning, whether it's goals, budgets, or estate planning, it's very difficult. It's not an easy conversation. You're talking about a lot of things. We have a document that we give to clients called Homegoing, and it is 15 pages, and it can list who to invite to your funeral, how you want to be buried, what songs you want sung, and the combination to your gun safe. It could be anything, but things you want other people to know if you are called home. But it's a very difficult conversation, even just saying, I want to be cremated, I want to be buried. I recommend to clients, I jokingly do this, but it has worked out many times. I say, you're driving to Florida this weekend. take this document when you're locked in a car together and you can't get frustrated and get up and go get a drink of water and not come back. You might get something done. And it's a good way to discuss things that you normally never talk about. But need to be talked about, because otherwise someone else is going to make that decision.
Right. And I mean, it's just really being kind to those
it
who
is.
Are left behind.
Yes. Correct.
To be very explicit as to what your wishes are, so
exactly.
that no one's trying to guess,
exactly.
you know, what you would have done. I mean, the will is just giving broad distribution of assets. But when you're talking about the homegoing document, you're providing very specific guidance
yes.
as to, okay, here are things that I want done.
And family members will have very different ideas of what needs to happen. And hopefully your goal is that you want your family to have Thanksgiving dinner together after you're gone. And having things laid out for them is one way to do that.
Right. Yes. And, you know, you just reminded me of another document that we have as far as planning and goal setting, and it's called a planning weekend.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So the planning weekend is essentially a time you set apart, whether as a married couple or even as singles. We have a separate document just for singles. And thinking more long term as to what are the goals that I'm trying to accomplish. And it's not just financial related. There are financial goals, and then there's other spiritual goals.
And the family goals.
Family goals. You name it, but it's just setting aside that time to go through thoughtfully, or a weekend to go through thoughtfully and figure out, where do I want to be a couple years from now? And, you know, what are some specific things that I need to do to get there?
And the beauty of that document is it gives you a framework, because if you just say, I'm going to take the time, and you're just sort of whiteboarding, you get lost. I mean, this gives you a framework of some specific questions to answer and to think about. And we say take a weekend because you do need to be away from all the distractions to really give it that prayerful thought that you want to go into it.
Right.
Well, this has been really great, ladies.
Yes.
Thanks for sharing this time with me. I hope the ladies out there have gotten one or two things that they can follow up on. And again, you know, feel free to check out our website, romblue.com. We have a page dedicated exclusively to women. And we also have a library section with tons of educational and informative information that I think will help you along your financial journey. Until next time.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Wisdom for Wealth for Life podcast, brought to you by Blue Trust. Thanks so much for listening, and please subscribe to wherever you listen to your podcasts. Trust and investment management accounts and services offered by Blue Trust are not insured by the FDIC or any other federal government agency, are not deposits or other obligations of, nor guaranteed by any bank or bank affiliate, and are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of the principal amount invested. The information in these podcasts is provided for general educational purposes only. It is not intended as specific individual advice. The client's experience may not be representative of the experience of other clients, and they are also not indicative of future performance or success. Opinions expressed may not be those of Blue Trust.